Thank you for joining with us on this 11th day of February. May I invite you to get your Bible today. Today, if the Lord wills, we'll finish reading the book of Leviticus. And let's turn together in our scripture to Leviticus chapter 26. And today we'll be reading Leviticus chapter 26 and 27. And let us remember, as always, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Before we read our scripture for today, let's talk just a little bit about what we've been reading and continue in talking where we were yesterday about the seven feasts. We still have the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles to talk about. And the Day of Atonement, that was a yearly feast that all the men of Israel were required to attend. And this is when the high priest made atonement for the nation's sins. And we read about this in Leviticus chapter 23, how the priest, the high priest, would go in into the most holy place behind the veil, and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat and at the base of the brazen altar. And then he would go back out. And there were two goats that had been selected for a sin offering, and one would die, and the other, the sins of the people, would be confessed over, and the high priest would lay both his hands upon the head of that goat. And then that goat would be led out into the wilderness where it was loosed. And this took place on the 10th day of the 7th month. That coincides with our September or October, the first month of the year being at the Feast of Passover, which is March or April. But on the 10th day of this 7th month, God told Moses, "There shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls." And it's a good thing to be sorry for our sins. He says, "You shall afflict your souls." Now, being sorry for our sins does not make an atonement for sin. But when we are sorry for our sins, let us know the Day of Atonement is not far away. Christ is our high priest. And he gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He did this by dying on the cross for our sins. And his death on the cross removes our guilt and the consequences of our sins. And our sins are never to be remembered against us again. But before our sins are forgiven, before atonement is made, before our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west, we experience godly sorrow. We experience the affliction of our soul. It's a good thing to be sorry for your sin. And verse 29 of this Leviticus chapter 23 says, "For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that day, he shall be cut off from among his people." Any soul that is not humbled because of their sin has no hope of salvation. And if you have never experienced sorrow for your sins, you have never seen the Day of Atonement. God told Jeremiah, he said, "They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way." And also on that Day of Atonement, this is something else that's very important for us to grasp right here. Just like the fourth commandment is a very important commandment for us to grasp. Verse 30 of this Leviticus chapter 23. "And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people." And we must know that there is no work that we can do for our salvation. The works of our salvation were complete before the very foundation of the world. And there is nothing, there is no human effort that can be added to our salvation. In fact, if we add human effort to it, we spoil it. Because we are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy. He says, "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." And this Day of Atonement was to be observed as a Sabbath day. Verse 32 of this chapter 23 says, "And it shall be unto you a Sabbath rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month, at even, from even until even." The Day of Atonement began at the evening of the ninth day, and it continued until the evening of the tenth day. And salvation is of the Lord. And let us know that the day of atonement is the day that we enter into that Sabbath rest. There remains a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. And our Savior is able to save us to the uttermost. Those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's our great high priest. God said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There is no more sacrifice for sin. And this is something else very important for us to catch right here. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And there are those today who think that the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ must be continually sacrificed. And every time they go to church, they have the idea that the body and the blood of Christ is present in a sacrament, in a sacrifice. But that is contrary to the Word of God. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed once for us. And his body was broken once for us. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continues to cleanse us from all sin. We must not crucify him afresh and put him before an open shame. And this day of atonement, this day that the people afflicted their souls for their sins, this day led to the gladsome Feast of Tabernacles, the joyful celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. This led into the joy of the Lord. The atonement must be experienced before we can experience the joy of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And this was a very festive occasion. And it followed right behind the Day of Atonement. And the children of Israel would live in tents or booths or arbors. And it was 7 days of heaven on earth. There they celebrated the time that they dwelt in the wilderness. And they celebrated God's gracious provisions for his people during those 40 years while they were in the wilderness. And provided for them manna. Their shoes didn't even wear out in the 40 years that they sojourned in the wilderness. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, during these 7 days, they would make themselves arbors out of trees. And these trees, they'd take the solid branches to build their booths. And then the lighter branches, they would carry around and they would march around in triumphal procession. And they would sing psalms and they would cry, Hosanna, which means save us now. Save, we beseech thee. And there was the voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tabernacles of the righteous. And they would cry, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And they would cry, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And on the last day they would have a ceremony where they would draw water from a pond. And it was during one of these Feast of Tabernacles where Jesus cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles where Jesus revealed himself as the source of living water. Jesus, the Word of God, that was made flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles where Jesus revealed himself as the water of life. And of course, all of these seven feasts typified Christ in one way or another. And that Feast of Tabernacles lasted for 7 days. And then verse 36 of this Leviticus chapter 23 tells us that then on the eighth day, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. And once again, On that eighth day was a day when the people would refrain from work. And these are the feasts of the Lord, God told Moses in the 37th verse. And you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, drink offerings, everything upon this day. Or peace offering. This was also a joyful occasion when the priest and the families expressed their praise to God. A time of fellowship, a time of unity, a joyful occasion. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a happy time. What a happy time that is. A time of peace. Jesus promised us peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And what a joyous and happy time. After we admit our sin, after we're sorry for our sin, and confession of sin is made, and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And He reconciles us to God. And we have fellowship with God and with one another. Christ is our peace offering. And Jesus prayed that we would have this fellowship. He prayed to the Father that we may all be one as He and the Father is one. And He said, "The glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." And Jesus told the Father, He said, "I have declared unto them Thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." What a joyous celebration. What a joyous time this is. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. And then that leads us to Leviticus chapter 24, where the Lord once again spoke unto Moses and said, "Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Outside the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually." And this was pure olive oil, beaten, cold drawn, which is the purest of all oil from the olive tree. And these lamps, these seven lamps, made into one lamp. We read in the book of Exodus that these lamps were never to go out. They were to burn always. And these seven lamps, which were located outside of the most holy place, and this golden lampstand with seven branches of pure gold candlesticks, it represents Christ as the light of the world. And it also illustrates the Holy Spirit, which provides illumination, who guides us into all truth. He does not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He shows us things to come. And John the Revelator, when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he was brought up to the throne of heaven, and out of that throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And the Lord spoke once again to Moses about the shewbread. "And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord." That is the table of shewbread. This table of shewbread was made of acacia wood. That's a strong wood that will not rot. And it was overlaid with pure gold. And these 12 loaves of unleavened bread sprinkled with incense. This represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And then in verse 10 of this Leviticus chapter 24, we read about the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian. And he went out among the children of Israel, and this son of this Israelitish woman and another man of Israel got into a fight in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And there is some things that God will not allow. And this is one of them. God says, "I will not hold him guiltless who taketh my name in vain." And God's name is sacred. God's name is holy. And there is some things that God will not allow. And he will not allow his name to be used in vulgarity. He will not allow his name to be used in profanity. There is a name which is above every name, a name at which every knee shall bow. And God will not hold that man guiltless who lightly esteems his name. And this son of this Israelite woman, an Egyptian man, he blasphemed the name of the Lord. And there is some things that the people of God just do not do. And this is one of them. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed unto them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. As children of God, we highly exalt that name, and we bow our knee before that name. And this is that same presumptuous sin that Nadab and Abihu committed. This is that same presumptuous sin that Cain committed. This is that same presumptuous sin of blasphemy that there is no forgiveness for in this life, nor in the one to come. And as we've read about all of the sacrifices that the children of Israel were to observe, you will find that there was no sacrifice for a presumptuous sin. God's name used in vulgarity and God's name used in profanity, it strikes the people of God with horror. God's people cannot stand the name and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to be dragged in the mud and trodden under the foot of men. Because we know the doom that awaits those who use God's name in such a degrading manner. And we know the doom that awaits those who utter his name in vulgarity, because God says, I will not hold him guiltless who uses my name in vain. John Bunyan, in his book, Grace Abounding to the Chiefest of Sinners, John Bunyan talks about before he was saved, how he was a blasphemer and how he cursed using God's name. And then after he was saved, how the devil would attack him like the devil attacked Job. Job's wife told him, Why don't you curse God and die? And Job said, I'll never curse the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan would come to John Bunyan and be so strong that John Bunyan would have to take his hands and clasp his mouth shut to keep from blaspheming the name of the Lord. John Bunyan, after he was saved, he would not profane the name of the Lord. And there's some things that Christians just do not do. And this is one of them. If it takes wiring your mouth shut to keep you from profaning the name of the Lord, then wire it shut. Jesus said, If your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we read your word today, we'll see that there's blessings for obedience to your commands, but there's judgment for disobedience. And thank you, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, let us recognize the eternal consequences of our sin. And let us be sorry for our sins. And when we have a godly sorrow for our sin, we know that's a good thing. Because with godly sorrow for sin comes atonement. Thank you in Jesus' name for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that illuminates your word to us. Now bless us as we read your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus chapter 26. You shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land. And you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. And you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues unto you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate. And ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. And also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Leviticus chapter 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation, and thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he be poor, then thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability, that vowed shall the priest value him. And if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it, nor change it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he shall at all exchange beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be any unclean beast, of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it. Who art the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. An omer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he sanctify his field from the year of Jubilee, according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the Jubilee. And it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctifieth the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he hath sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest. And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of the Jubilee, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of the Jubilee the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerahs shall be the shekel. Only the firstlings of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstlings, no man shall sanctify it. Whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. and concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And that completes our scripture reading for today, and that completes reading the book of Leviticus. And now, if the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. But remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.